You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. And if you are new to this podcast, welcome. This is a daily podcast. We post new episodes Monday through Friday throughout the season and most of the offseason. If you like what you hear and you'd like to subscribe to this, you can do that where podcasts are found, and we will deliver new episodes to you each day as they are posted, and also leave this show a good review. The Jets coaching search moves on. We are now in the second round of interviews. Robert Saleh is getting that process underway. Not clear whether there are going to be other second round interviews, but we are moving closer to the Jets hiring their new head coach. On today's show, we're going to have our weekly mailbag, thanks to everybody who sent in questions. And our first question deals with the coaching search. How long do you see the coaching search going, and how long do you think the Jets can afford to go? Getting the best candidate is the obvious priority. What worries me is they will wait for a guy whose team goes deep into the playoffs, only then to have that guy spurn them for another team, and the Jets are left looking for scraps because every other top candidate was hired. What are your thoughts on a scenario like this? My thoughts are mainly that I understand, as a Jets fan, why you're worried about the worst-case scenario, and I'm not really worried about that situation playing itself out, because once you get deep enough into the playoffs, it's kind of understood whether somebody's going to take the job or not. Look, these other candidates are not going to leave the Jets hanging. You know, they're going to tell the Jets. I mean, it's going to be very clear whether or not the Jets are going to hire somebody. It's going to be very clear whether or not that person will accept the job. How long do I see the coaching search going? I think it's reasonable, and this is just a guess. This is an educated guess. This is not insider information. I think it's reasonable to guess that by this time next week, we will have an idea of who the next Jets head coach will be. Now, that does not necessarily mean the candidate will be officially hired, because the candidate's team may still be in the playoffs. But I think I would, now that we're on the second round of interviews, and it was a pretty thorough search the first round. I mean, we did have 9 candidates interview, and you know, it's possible maybe another candidate or two gets a first interview, but now that we're in the second round of interviews, it's a sign that we're moving towards a conclusion. And depending on which rumors you follow, and these are all rumors, it could very well be as early as today that we find out who the next Jets head coach is. As far as the time frame goes, nobody's going to remember 10 years from now how long this search took. It is 100% about finding the right candidate. And maybe not, you know, I shouldn't say 100%, because there are a few advantages to getting the hire done early. If you do it earlier, that means that there are more assistants available for a potential coach to fill out his staff. So there are some minor benefits, but you know, a few years ago, the Colts could not have gotten a later start on their search after they thought they were going to hire Josh McDaniels, the situation you laid out, and then McDaniels turned them down at the last minute. So they essentially had to restart their process after the Super Bowl, and they still got Frank Reich, who's done a pretty good job for them. And that brings me to the way this thing typically works, is that the Jets are not going to wait to offer the job to a coach, even if he's still in the playoffs. The coach may not officially accept until his team season's over, but they'll have a commitment from somebody. They'll have a commitment from a coach if his team's still in the playoffs. That person will commit. He will say, "I'm going to take your job." And yeah, I guess in theory they could pull the Josh McDaniels, but it's not likely. I mean, Josh McDaniels was kind of a one of its kind case. So I think the Jets will make an offer to somebody, and even if the person has not officially accepted the offer, they're going to tell the Jets, "Yeah, I'm going to accept your offer." So I'm not really worried about the Jets waiting. It's not like the Jets are going to be totally caught off guard. It's not like the Jets are going to have no idea whether a coach they're waiting for is going to accept their offer. He's going to tell them. You know, he's either going to tell them, "I will accept this offer after my team season is over," or "I won't." And during that process, he's probably going to be in touch with coaches he's going to bring aboard on his staff. So I don't really worry about that. I think that we should have some clarity in the next few days. You would assume, unless the candidates that they like for second interviews all fail on their second interview and they cause the Jets to have doubts, I think that this process is probably closer to the conclusion than the start. And the Jets can afford to wait as long as it takes to hire the right coach. This is not a, it's not a matter of getting it done quickly. It's a matter of getting the right hire in here, because that's going to have a much, much, much greater impact over the long run. Which of the two do you think sets the Jets up for success? Getting the search done in 10 days instead of 15, instead of 20? Or hiring somebody who's going to be a really good coach here for the long run? And I get, you know, every time there's a coach or a general manager search like this, and it drags on into week two, there's always some anxiousness. Maybe it's that the future is uncertain. Maybe you just want to get this over with. You want to know who's going to be running the Jets over the next few years. And I get that. And I always sense some anxiety from the fan base. But ultimately, getting this right is much more important than getting it done within a prescribed time frame. So, I think that this is going to be over relatively soon, even if we don't have an official announcement next week because the coach they hire is still participating in the playoffs. I do think we're probably going to have some degree of clarity. That's something that happens every year, is that there's some coach who's still playing, his team makes the conference championship games or even the Super Bowl, and the media already knows that that person is going to leave and take a head coaching job. Some of the coaches the Jets have interviewed are going to be participating in the divisional round of the playoffs this week, and there's only one place that has you covered: betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word with no space, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus from your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Wednesday mailbag show. Our next question: How good is Joe Douglas's reputation? We all know money talks, but will there be enough good free agents who trust him to join a rebuilding 2-14 team? Relatedly, are there other things about joining the Jets that might help too, such as their facility or their fans? I know no one is going to sign with the Jets because they have a cool building. Just wondering if there are other factors we don't always consider that may help. Well, I actually do think the facility can matter. There have been stories about players who have maybe given a team a little... I'm not saying any player has ever signed with a team specifically because of their facilities, but there have been instances where a player has been impressed by a team's facility, because in a team facility can matter. It's not so much that it's cool, it's that it's where the player trains. So if a player thinks that a team really invests in training its players to get their top performance, it could be a little bit of a factor. If you remember back years and years, the Denver Broncos played in the Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium, and they spent the week training for that game at the Jets facility. And at that time, Eric Decker was playing wide receiver for them, and Decker signed with the Jets in free agency that year. So it's the kind of thing that, you know, may matter a little bit. Ultimately, I don't think players really care about Joe Douglas. I doubt most players who are going to be free agents know about Joe Douglas. I don't think they're anywhere near as excited about Joe Douglas as Jets fans are. I think for players, it's more you have to prove yourself as a team. So it's going to be a challenge for the Jets to get free agents in here. As you said, I think the biggest factor that will help the Jets get free agents in here is money. And ultimately, though, the Jets are going to have to overpay to get good free agents here. And for me, it's not the question of whether or not they're going to have to overpay. It's a question of, are they prioritizing, A, the right people, B, the right positions, and C, just how bad are these overpays? It's one thing to stretch a little bit to get a player in here. It's another to give out the kind of deal that really, really hurts your cap position. Now, as we have discussed on this show at many points over the last few months, one of the things that will help the Jets is that this is not going to be your typical year in free agency. Most likely, we're looking at a situation where the cap is going down, because the salary cap is based on a percentage of the revenues the league makes, and revenues are obviously down this year since fans have not been in these stadiums. You know, there have been minimal ticket sales in the league, so revenues are going to go down. And before the start of the season, the league and the players' union worked out a deal that made sure the cap could not fall below a certain threshold. Now, with the cap going down, that means that there are going to be a lot of teams in the cap crunch, which kind of helps a team like the Jets in two areas. Helps them, first of all, because teams in the cap crunch are going to have to cut players, some players who are useful, and those players are going to hit the market. The more good players on the market, the better it is for a team like the Jets. But it also helps them from the standpoint there are not going to be many teams they are going to be competing with for the top free agents. So there are a couple factors at play that maybe make having cap space more advantageous for a team like the Jets than they would be in a typical year. Ultimately, though, I don't think Joe Douglas' reputation is really going to matter much to free agents, because he still has to build this team up. The Jets' reputation is what it is. The Jets need to change their reputation, and they'll just have to make the right moves in free agency in order to improve things. Next question, what's the ceiling for James Morgan? If there isn't a high one, why would the Jets pick him in the fourth? Well, the reason the Jets would pick him in the fourth is, if you go back to the 2019 season, the team looked horrible without Sam Darnold. As bad as the offense was in 2019 with Sam Darnold in there, the unit collapsed in the games he missed with Mono. So I think that was on the Jets' mind when they went into the NFL draft. Listen, a backup quarterback is really important in this league. A backup quarterback may be one of the most important players on your roster, and for whatever reason, even though it's really important, teams don't like investing resources in it. I don't have a problem with the Jets using a fourth-round pick on a backup quarterback. I just don't think James Morgan's that good of a prospect. If you watched him in college, I don't know how you come away thinking this is a guy with any degree of upside. I think the Jets would tell you his ceiling is as a quality backup quarterback. I don't think James Morgan could play in the NFL. Maybe I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong about that, but I am very skeptical James Morgan's going to be able to play. I think the Jets would tell you he could be developed into a backup quarterback. And if you could get a backup quarterback out of the fourth round, I'd say that would turn out to be a pretty good pick. I'm just not really getting my hopes very high for James Morgan. Our next question, with most of the current candidates being would-be first-time head coaches, it's hard to picture what their staffs may look like. Do any of the coordinator candidates have an edge with the rest of their team's connections and their coaching trees' philosophies they would assemble their staff from? So I think that's a tough call, because sometimes there are connections coaches have that we're not aware of. Maybe it's not somebody they've worked directly with, but they know somebody. Somebody, essentially, a coach they worked with knows somebody who would be a really good coordinator and is recommending them. So it's not just their immediate network. It's not just the people they work with, but it's the people they work with who they've worked with, if that makes sense. So I mean, there are some cases where it's obvious. Like, Robert Saleh works with the 49ers. So you know that there's a good chance that they're going to hire somebody from Kyle Shanahan's staff to run the offense. That's an obvious one. But some of these other coaches, it's not so obvious. It may be a guy they've worked with in the past recommends somebody. Even, you know, it could be a situation with Joe Brady. Maybe Joe Brady gets his defensive coordinator not from somebody he's worked with in the past, but from the recommendation of somebody he's worked with. You know, somebody he works with knows somebody. Or it could be like a third degree connection where Joe Brady doesn't know this guy, but he's recommended by somebody who recommended that guy. You know, it's difficult to say. So, I mean, like I said, there are some cases where it's kind of obvious, where like Robert Saleh is probably going to hire somebody from the 49ers to be his offensive coordinator. But you don't really know the connections these guys have behind the scenes. Your network goes beyond the people you've just worked with. You know, sometimes there are people who are friends in the league who just don't work together. And they say, you know what, if I ever get a head coaching job, I'm going to bring you aboard. even though they never worked directly together, they know each other. So it's kind of tough to say. It's kind of tricky to answer. So I'm not sure it necessarily gives anybody a leg up. It's about who they'd bring. And these are questions that are only answered in the interviews. So without being in the interviews, it's tough to say. Now, I'm sure Joe Douglas and company know who these guys are looking at to build their staff. So if I was in those interviews, I could give you an answer, because then I'd know who the assistant hires would be. But I don't, so it's kind of tough to answer. You are unique, and so are your taxes. TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who listen to you, learn about your unique tax situations, and answer your questions. And on top of all of that, they can do your taxes from start to finish. Maybe you started investing and want some reassurance from an expert that you're doing things right. Maybe you're now self-employed and need some expert advice on what qualifies you for a home office deduction. Or maybe you'd rather have an expert file your taxes for you so you can focus on what matters most. No matter what your situation is, TurboTax Live tax experts can answer your questions, give tax advice, review your return before your file, or even do it all for you. TurboTax Live gives you confidence that your uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. File with the help of an expert, or let an expert file for you. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Mailbag Wednesday. The next question comes from Jim, who asks, who were your top five pleasant surprises in the 2020 season? Well, Jim, I mean, the team was 2-14. It's going to be tough for me to come up with five, but I'll give you one. I think John Franklin Myers was really impressive. That was a waiver wire pickup that I liked last year, because I felt like he was always productive when I watched him play with the Rams. I was a little bit surprised that the Rams let him go, and he ended up being a very disruptive force for the Jets on the defensive line. And while I'm not sure he's going to be a star-level performer going forward, I think he's part of the solution. I think he's a guy who can help the Jets as a role player going forward. So I'm giving you one. I mean, at 2-14, I don't think I can give you five pleasant surprises, but I'll give you one. John Franklin Myers. Next question. The Jets have drafted, by my count, six quarterbacks since 2009. Sanchez in the first round, Geno in the second round, Petty in the fourth round, Hackenberg in the second round, Darnold in the first round, and Morgan in the fourth round. You can see why Jets fans are afraid to take another quarterback with the second overall pick that is not named Trevor Lawrence. How can the Jets organization learn from their past mistakes in evaluating and developing future quarterbacks? I understand these are different people making the decisions, but you would think someone in the building has reflected on this topic. Well, I think there are a couple of things here, and I'm not sure it should necessarily be a fear that prevents the Jets from taking a quarterback, but if the Jets do not take a quarterback, I think it's just going to be because they don't like any of these players. I mean, it's easy to sit there and say you should take a quarterback when you need one, but you need to acknowledge that if the Jets take a quarterback early and miss on him, it is going to set the franchise back for years. So that means you can only take a quarterback if you really like him. Now, looking at these quarterbacks, what are some of the common traits? Well, I think one of the things that you view as a common trait is these guys were all projects to some degree. Sanchez had only started for a year in college. Geno was coming out of a system that really did not ask him to do NFL things. Neither did Petty. Hackenberg was just a total... Hackenberg's the one guy here who had pretty extensive starting experience, but he was just a total rebuild project. Darnold was young. You know, he had a lot of inexperience himself. He was very young when the Jets drafted him. And Morgan's another guy who's a total project. So the Jets have taken a lot of very raw quarterback prospects, and they've put them into situations where the rest of the roster has just not been up to par. And that's a very dangerous duo. You know, you look at what the Bills have done with Josh Allen. I mean, Josh Allen, at the point he was drafted, there's no way you can tell me Josh Allen was better than Sam Darnold on the day they were drafted in 2018. Josh Allen was not a good quarterback the day he was drafted. The reason that he was drafted as high as he was is that with his physical tools, there was a path for him to improve and become the, you know, MVP candidate he is today. It was about where he could be. It was not about where he was right then. And the Bills did a good job putting a competent franchise around him. They gave him the pieces. They invested in the offensive line. They tried to get him quality receivers. They got him decent coaching. They did pretty much the opposite of what the Jets have done with these prospects. So I think for the Jets, if you're going to draft a guy who's a bit of a project, and I think, you know, once you get past Trevor Lawrence, everybody's got some risk. Everybody's a bit of a project. You just have to do a better job building around these guys. And look, in some of these cases, the Jets just drafted the wrong guy. I don't think it matters what you built around Christian Hackenberg. That guy just cannot play in the NFL. As I said earlier, I'm skeptical James Morgan can play in the NFL. And, you know, some of the other guys, Bryce Petty's not an NFL. I thought that was a reach. But for the guys who went in the early rounds, Sanchez, Geno, and Darnold, it's entirely possible these guys were never going to be good no matter what the Jets did. But they put them in these situations where they were not ready to carry the entire load, and they were forced to pretty much be the hero on the team. And that just doesn't work when you have a quarterback with issues who needs to do development of their own. You develop bad habits that become very difficult to break. And I think that, you know, this is one of the issues, I think, when people say that they want to bring Darnold back, they want to give Darnold another year. Just getting rid of Adam Gase and building a better team around Darnold does not mean that you magically go back to the 21-year-old kid they drafted out of USC. It doesn't turn them back the clock to 2018. This is a quarterback with three years of experience now. He's 3 years older, 3 years where his confidence level has been lowered substantially, 3 years of bad developments being fostered, 3 years of bad habits he's going to have to get rid of. I think that's one of the issues, you know, with the people who say that you want to bring Darnold back and give him another chance. I think, you know, it would be great if you could just turn back the clock and suddenly you get the rookie out of USC again. It doesn't work that way. And the Jets have just not done a good enough job building around these quarterbacks. And again, like, on some level, these guys do have to be blamed. You know, these guys could have been better. And there are cases where the Jets clearly just drafted the wrong guy. But the Jets have done everything wrong in building around their quarterbacks the last decade. And I think that that's part of the story as to why they've struggled so much with young players at the position. Our next question, John, do you have cable? No, I'm a cord cutter. YouTube TV and Sling TV. I have Rokus for both of my TVs. I like it. I think that cable, you have like 1,000 channels, but I mean like 990 of those channels you never use. So I like cord cutting. I like using streaming services like Sling TV and YouTube TV. And then I, you know, have other apps. I have like every streaming platform imaginable. I really ought to cut back on those. I mean, I think I've subscribed to like every streaming platform imaginable. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. I mean, it's bad. I'm spending too much money on streaming platforms. I'm probably going to need to look into cutting back on those. But yeah, I am a cord cutter. I've got Sling TV and YouTube TV, and I think that they work very well. I think the only real problem is that you get the feeds later than other people do. So like if you're watching a game, like your friend or a family member will call me about a play that like I'm 2 minutes away from seeing because like they're watching on cable and the cable feed comes in faster. So that's the only real disadvantage, but I would not oppose it. You know, if you're thinking about it, I can tell you I have enjoyed being a cord cutter. And our last question, do you think that history will repeat itself and Bryce Hall will regress like Bless Austin did? I know after looking at the tape that Bless was given assignments to make his life easier as he was eased into the lineup. Did you see the same type of assignments given to Hall, or does Hall's success look to be more sustainable? Well, you know, I'm not sure Bless Austin regressed as much as he just was challenged more this year. You have to remember that last year, down the stretch, the Jets did not face a very imposing slate of quarterbacks. And in addition to that, as you mentioned, the Jets gave him very easy assignments to execute. They kind of hid him. I mean, there were lots of situations where he was given safety help over the top and asked to cover a very small area. And I think that some of his late season success last year was kind of a mirage. And in the games where they asked him to do more, there was a game against Miami and a game against Pittsburgh. he really struggled a lot. So there were signs that this was a guy who maybe was getting a little bit too much attention, a guy who wasn't playing as well as people were making him out to be. As far as Hall goes, and I think another thing you have to remember is the context. You know, he was a sixth round pick. For a sixth round rookie coming off a major injury, he played okay. For a normal corner, he was, you know, not that great. And I think the same was true of Hall. In the context of fifth round rookie corner coming off a serious injury, I thought Hall played okay. But there were bad games for Bryce Hall. I don't think Bryce Hall was a shutdown corner by any stretch of the imagination. And I thought there were stretches where he really struggled last year. I think for Hall, as much as anything, you're hoping based on upside, because he was a guy a lot of people liked heading into the draft, and there were good moments, but I don't think you should read too much into what Hall did this year. I think Hall had moments where he really struggled. I don't think that this was a great rookie season for Bryce Hall by any stretch of the imagination. I think it was a good season in the context that he was coming off a serious injury and that he was a rookie. But for a normal corner, I mean, if he plays like that again next year, that's not regression. That's just a guy who's not really growing into a starting role. You're going to need to see a big improvement between now and then if Bryce Hall is going to be a quality starting corner for the Jets. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Hope you have a good Wednesday, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.